Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Saturday mornings from 9 for CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of 1 hour express while you wait servicing.
Yes, a very good morning and welcome to Dead Set Legends. We have got a big, big show. I'm really pumped for today's show. Lots of news coming out of last night. But before that, the big news is we've got Emma G. First day on Dead Set Legends.
Hi,
welcome,
guys.
Em.
Thanks, guys. G'day, pleasure G. to be here.
It's taken us nearly a year and a half to get you on board.
Oh, thanks for your persistence, Jars.
Well done.
And Jars.
Hello, Greg.
Very good morning to you as well.
G'day to the family. G'day to Adelaide, to Australia, global. I'm saying hello. Looking forward to the next 3 hours. Where's Buffoon Ed?
Oh,
Vince.
Here we go again.
Again.
How many?
I've had enough.
In fifth show now.
I've had enough.
Bernie's been on once.
And what is the what did the opener say?
Bernie blew in Jars.
Well, where is
we've got to change that
I'm
opener.
I'm telling you.
We've got to change it.
He told me last night, I'll see you tomorrow morning. I said, oh good, look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Well, we might get him on. He's playing a cricket final today, isn't he?
Anyway. There's lots to get through.
Now, what about all the news coming out from overnight? Of course, Chinese swimmer Sun Yang got banned for 8 years.
About time.
Sucked in.
Yeah.
Sucked in.
You've never been that aggressive on air.
Well, we don't like cheats.
No, not at all.
We don't like cheats. He got away with it for...
And Matt Horton, golf clap. Stood his ground.
Yep.
At the medal presentation there. Well done.
And
yes,
what about
Greg.
What's going on at the 36ers? There's all sorts of stuff just unfolding in the last 48 hours.
It's terrible what's happening out there. Yep, it's ugly at the moment. And we're going to catch up with Phil Smythe, but that he won't know what's... Yeah, well, he'll know a little bit, but... He was at the Port Adelaide's 150th anniversary last night, and he wants to tell a story about his grandfather, who was a Port Adelaide player and fought in the war.
All right. Well, we love getting the general on, don't we? He's a great man. Jay Clark will join us, as always, to talk us through all the news regarding AFL. Travis Head, Test player, Redbacks captain.
Terrific young
Test
man.
Test vice captain, I should
Terrific
say, as well.
Young
he
man.
Will be on the show as well. Heath Uni. Crows development coach is going to join us in the first hour as well to we'll pick his brains.
Well, Gregory, they've got an under-23 showdown today at 12 o'clock at Thebe Oval, Port v Crows. So, Gade, if you've got nothing else to do, go and see what some young talent run around from both respective clubs.
And we'll talk about last night's game as well.
Are we really?
That was a spectacle.
Okay.
The Vicks got up.
Oh, I didn't watch it. I apologise. I didn't get a chance to watch it last
night. It was good viewing. Very good viewing. So plenty to come on Dead Set Legends.
You're all good?
All right.
Good. I'm great.
Okay.
Get involved on Twitter. Share your thoughts at Triple M Adelaide.
You go,
Bernie, Bluey and Jars, your Dead Set Legends. Your Dead Set Legends on Triple M, Bernie, Bluey and Jars for CMI Toyota.
Big game of footy last night, Jars. I know that you didn't watch it, but a lot of people would have. Mm. Of course, Victoria taking on the All-Stars, and it was for a very good cause, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
To raise money for the bush.
And I didn't watch it. I just didn't get it. I had another appointment. So
did you?
No, I did. So I didn't get a chance to have a
look. It's unlike you not to watch a bit of sport on TV.
Yeah, but I had another engagement on.
Did you?
Yeah, but I did read up this morning.
I thought it might have been a bit of a protest.
Not at all.
Because they built it up as a State of Origin game, which it's not, is it?
No, it's not. And everyone knows my views on it. But it was a wonderful, and everyone should be congratulated for playing. Because it's a worthy cause, as we know, for the bushfire appeal. And well done to everyone that put their hand up, the players, the coaches, and what, 51,000 people
51,
there last
51,000,
so
yes.
Great. Well done to everyone.
So it was, I really enjoyed it, actually. It was free-flowing football. Maybe after the first quarter, you could see that's the way it was going to unfold. Yep. So excellent skills. Mm-hmm. Victoria ran away with it in the end, 46-point winners. Little bit of controversy because everyone's sort of having a bit of a crack at Dusty Martin for getting best on ground. A lot of people saying he wasn't best. He was bloody good though. He kicked a couple of goals. He dished off about three or four as well.
Yeah.
And he's got, as he always has, he's got a great impact on the game.
But you don't think he deserved the medal. Who did then?
I reckon Papley kicked five goals for Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
Kicked the first couple, got them on a bit of a roll, and then got them back into the game. He was brilliant all night. Josh Kelly, very clean
as
well.
He's a star.
Pendlebury.
Star.
Very good. I'll tell you what did sort of...
What's happened?
Charlie Cameron looks unbelievably fit.
Yeah.
And I was like, why isn't he still playing for the Crows? He was very, very good
Greg,
as well.
Greg, let it go.
No,
we've
I know.
Got to let that go.
But, yeah, well, it was. I really enjoyed it. Probably the sort of second half sort of drifted on a little bit because it wasn't there wasn't that competitive sort of element that there could have been.
Yeah.
But great skills on show. But so what do they
the
do,
question?
Jars? What do they
right.
because it's a they've now got this little window and they've got a I think the AFL move because it was very well supported last night.
Mm.
But they can pick a charity or I think pick a really good cause going forward, can't they? But do they do it the same? Do they do it? I mean, the big V's got to be involved, but the All Stars.
No, look. If you want to lock it in this weekend, every second year, it's got to be a traditional state of origin. It has to be that. It has to be South Australia. Do you imagine South Australia v Victoria at Adelaide Oval last night?
Yep.
We would have got 45,000.
Yep.
All right, and then the following year it could be West. The winner plays the Western Australia. You know, the winner keeps going on every second year. Every year, I don't know. I don't know if the AFL coaches will support that. This is for me. This was a one-off.
Yep.
All right. Because of the what happened to our country in the summer, but
it's not as easy as it sounds.
The players are the ones that can make this happen.
But they loved it last night.
Well,
the smiles on their face, and they've been talking up all week. Isn't it great? It's almost like. I reckon they've got a bit of a feeling of what it's like to play in the Australian cricket team because, you know, you get your best players together. They hung out for a couple of days and you've got the cream of the crop right there. But all the players are buying in. So this is a great opportunity. And we've been discussing it. We'd love to hear your point of view. 133353, any great ideas. But, yeah, I'm similar to you. I'd love to see SA. I reckon the big V's got to play every year.
Why?
So whether it's, you know, SA plays every second year, WA plays every second year as well.
I think it's the
big V.
Well, hang on. What about the big South Australia?
Because
don't put them on a pedestal, Victoria. Mate, we used to knock them off in the 80s and 90s.
That's
they're
right.
Not that, they're not that big, powerful football side. They were very strong last night. And at the don't build them up, mate.
Well, I reckon
and West Australian football, you pick a WA side, mate, they'd knock off the Victorians.
All right, so how are we going to do it? How are we going to
1-3-3-5-3, tell us.
Yes,
I've given you my thoughts every couple of years.
We want to see this game continue. I think the big V's got to be involved every year.
Well, why don't you go and move over there? And honestly, I can't believe you said
I'm
that.
I'm very passionate about it.
Don't you give me that one.
I'm very passionate about it. I'm never moving from Adelaide, but anyway. There's a great opportunity to do something special. State of origin footy, let's get it back.
Or is it dead? That's it.
Or
we
just
won't see
is
it again.
Just the one-off game?
That's
it. And right.
All right, come on, G.
133353 all morning to be a part of the show. Bernie Vince, Greg Blewett, Andrew Jarman, your Dead Set Legends on Triple M. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M with your Dead Set Legends, Bernie, Bluey, and Jars for CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one selling Toyota dealer.
Good girl, G. Now, we're talking about State of Origin, a yearly fixture. Lock it in. You'd like to see it what?
I'd like to see it locked
every
in.
Every year.
I want to see the big V involved
every year.
Because that's what it's all about. It's about beat the Vicks. Beat the Vicks.
133353. How do we work it? Does it stay? Does it go? Get the phones going. Let's go to Alex of Westbourne Park. G'day, mate.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, Alex. What do you think, mate?
I reckon keep it, but I've got a two-way question.
Yeah.
I want to go watch the State of Origin, New South Wales versus Queensland.
Yep.
It's sold out.
Hmm.
So my point is, if you have the players, they'll do it, but find the clubs.
Yep.
So the players will, because the players will play. And then the other thing is it the Big V versus the All-Stars?
No.
And that's it? But if you're doing a State of Origin, you can't do just Victoria play South Australia.
No, well, that's
right.
That's why we're trying to find a good fixture. So that's fair for WA, New South Wales, South Australia, and Victoria. They're the four states you should play it.
Yeah, so why don't you do 1 year on, 1 year off?
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, let's lock it in. Write it down, Greg. Alex,
so you play Victoria, will play West Australia next year. South Australia plays New South Wales.
Yeah.
The year after, Victoria plays South Australia. New South Wales plays WA.
Oh, mate, happy with that. And you lock it in this time of the year. Do it now before the home and away starts, yeah?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, good. All right, mate, have a good day, buddy. Let's go to Tommy. G'day, Tom.
G'day, boys. I'd love to see it stay as well. It was great last night. I'm just thinking out loud, you know, I reckon you could almost do it as though they do it in Europe with the soccer, so with the promotion and relegation. So if you had a weekend of it, you could have 4 to 6 states, and you know, Victoria and whoever you start with are in Div 1, and then the loser next year goes down to Div 2, and then, you know, if SA won the second round, the year after, then they go up and play the Big V the next year, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Not a bad idea. But it's got to be, sounds like it's got to be multiple games though, doesn't it, Charles? Like, you've got to maybe play it over 2 nights.
Yeah, today, so last night and today or tonight. And then it's done. And then have no trial games on. So for all those other 18 clubs, yep, they have this weekend off. And then they're back playing trial games, you know, next week and get ready for round one. Good on you, mate. Let's go to Mark of Hackham. Marcus.
Morning, boys.
Morning, Mark.
Hey, 2 points, good and the bad.
Yeah.
I kind of like the State of Origin format. I think all of us blokes are a bit older, we're old school, love that rivalry, right?
Yeah.
So keep it, you know. Mm. But why can't we have it as like the opening to the season each year is State of Origin? Kind of like the Americans have their Daytona 500. That's the best race for the NASCARs of the year as the opener. Let's have State of Origin, right? Bang, here's the season opener, State of Origin, you know.
Yep.
It's like almost the pinnacle of the football, straight up, first games of the year. You know, South Australia versus Victoria.
Beautiful.
That'd just be a highlight, I reckon.
Love it,
Mark. Just get the crowds there.
That's it.
No, that's a great idea. Would the clubs have a bit of pushback on that, Jars? Their players getting banged up?
But if the players are driving it, like you said, they loved it, well, then the players make the decision, not the clubs or the coaches. Can I have a prize from Mark, please?
Yeah, your mates, Jars. Cheeky Greek voucher.
Yeah, stand there at Henley Beach there. Mm. Tone's got a new menu too.
Has he?
Yeah, my old mate Tone spoke to me yesterday. Cheeky Greek, get down there.
Oh, no, it's good grub.
It's all yours, mate. Good, all the best. $50 voucher. Let's go to Damon of Scotty Creek. Damo.
How you going, boys?
Good, Damien.
I was really just thinking about the way rugby league do it. I don't know if you guys watched the game last week when they had the Indigenous All-Stars against the Maori All-Stars.
Yep.
Maybe they could go down that track, you know, have one game a year where, I'm with you, Bluey, maybe keep the Big V as the main attraction, but maybe look at something like an All-Stars team, maybe look at an Indigenous All-Stars team or something like that.
Yeah.
They just play each other under that kind of format. So it's not quite State of Origin, but it's just something, it's a game that they do, and it could be a fundraiser each year.
Yeah, and of course...
some kind of course.
And of course, the NRL have got that great series they play mid-season, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. I don't think AFL will ever emulate that.
No.
Unfortunately.
No.
It has been dead and buried for a number of years. Our State of Origin. But maybe they could go down a different track and try something like that. I mean, it was fantastic. The game last night, it was great spectacle. Good fundraiser. Maybe they could look at something else next year.
Yep. Well done, Damo. Have a good day, mate. Let's go to Davey of Glenelg. Dave. Davey boy.
How are you, boys?
What are we doing with it?
Mate. We've got to do is that I'm going to contradict everybody that's been on this morning, and I want it as the grand final curtain raiser. Reason being, numbers are going to go. You haven't got the issue of injuries pre-season, and then if there is any injuries, they've got the off-season to get over it. And it just means it caps off the season, full stop. Coaches and players aren't worried about getting off the itis pubis that Mr. Carey used to always get. Yeah. At this time of the year. So I just think it would be a massive spectacle. And because the guys that are playing in the grand final, the day's about them. And then we have this game that's at the end of the season that celebrates the whole year with the best on show representing their states.
So you want on the same day as the grand final, played before?
As the curtain raiser.
Jeez. All right.
Good on you, Dave.
We're not getting half-hearted.
No.
Games. We're getting full commitment from the people involved.
But Dave, we're not getting the best players playing in the state jumpers, are we? Because a lot of those good players were playing in a grand final.
That's for that year, Jars. That's for that year.
Yeah,
but
okay.
You know, like if we're gonna revolve it around the grand final.
Yeah.
It means that those guys, it's their day. I don't want to take away from them, but this is the way to introduce it without the problems of injury.
Righto. All right, mate. Have a good day, Dave. Thanks for that.
Your Dead Set Legends overnight scoreboard next on Triple M.
Oh, the Victorians belted the All-Stars by 46 points, 24 goals 10 to 5, 15 goals 18 in front of 51,000 fans. And congratulations to everyone involved to support the bushfire relief game last night. So well done. No word on the total raised either yet.
No.
All right.
All right.
No word yet. I hope it's over a million that they raised on the night. You got any idea?
I thought I heard Pendlebury say like $6 million or something. That
generated $6 million last night. If anyone knows, give us a call, please. 1-3-3-5-3. I've got a staff of about 17 blokes out there. No one can tell me, honestly, haven't we? We've got about 40 producers.
It's good. We've got a good vibe going this morning.
Also, the fans mocked the decision to award Dusty Martin, BOG, the best on ground medal. And your thoughts?
He was good. Okay. I thought Tom Papley was BOG.
Victorian coach, here's Damien Hardwick after.
I think the timing of it is right. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's an annual event, but probably, you know, every 30 year perhaps would be something to look at. But, you know, I think the guy's starting to understand the, you know, the value of the jumper. You know, once again, it was something that I loved as a kid. I remember running home from school to watch the games over in WA. And, you know, I think the players now have got a real, you know, real need and real want to play for it. And, you know, the Big V is such a big thing and been a big part of my childhood that I'd imagine become part of the kids of today also.
Well said.
Yep.
Well said. But, oh, the Big V jumper. What about the great South Australian jumper?
Have you seen some of the great long sleeve? I remember you and your long sleeve.
15. Do you remember some of our greats? You know, Neil Curley, Russell Ebert, Rick Davies, Paul Bagshaw, Gary McIntosh,
Johnny Platton,
Michael Ace. Darren Robert Jarman.
Oh,
anyway,
Tony Hall.
Melbourne belted North Melbourne in a trial last night. North Melbourne are in a world of pain.
Mate, it's they just are let the in a world season. Of pain.
I know your mate, Mickey Ponting. He won't be happy. Under-23 showdown, Port v Crows. We're catching up with Coach Heath Uni very shortly from the Adelaide Crows. He's done a superb job with the Crows in the sample at Thebe Oval. Midday today, Blue.
All right. Yep.
You're not playing golf today.
Yeah, I am.
Well, look at your dress sense.
I've got my golf shirt in the car.
The superstar is back, Erin Phillips. She'll play her first game since the knee recon tomorrow v Carlton. That's the rematch there of the grand final at Richmond Oval. And all the best, Erin. You are an absolute superstar. She'll just play deep and up forward.
Okay.
And they'll manage her minutes, no doubt about that. The world's celebrating the decision of that Chinese drug cheat, Sung Yang Lang Lang Bong.
Sucked in.
Bad luck. 8 years he copped.
Won't see him again. 28 years of age, he is done.
The message there? What's the message there for all our kiddies?
Don't cheat.
Yes. Just do the work. Do the work. In basketball, Tasmania will get their first NBL team since 1996.
Are they?
Yep. The team will be based in Hobart in their northern suburbs. So congratulations to the franchise. I think they're pumping about $10 million to get up and about. But well done
they're
to the
get
NBL.
That's
what you said here. Next, an AFL team in Tassie.
Right.
All right, well done.
Yep.
Aussies play soft off game one of the three games tonight in the 50 over, 9:30. Yep. All good.
Yep. Cleaned them up in the T20s. Brilliant. And we're going to do the same in the ODIs.
Brilliant. All right. And I've got a little band called Tongue and Cheek, Rock and Roll. Tonight, 8 o'clock, they're playing at West Beach Surf Lifesaving Club. I used to be the manager of this band, Tongue and Cheek, Brassy and the Boys.
Well, they've really taken off.
All right, so they are very popular around Adelaide.
Are they?
Oh, I'm serious.
Right.
I love my music.
I'm supporting them.
West Beach Surf Club tonight, 8 o'clock to midnight, $5
entry. Still their manager?
Well, I haven't had any contact with them for 2.5 years, all right?
Right, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Now, that's the scoreboard.
Bernie, Bluey and Jars, your dead set legends for CMI Toyota. Enjoy the CMI Toyota advantages of 2 years free extended warranty and capped price servicing with every Toyota certified pre-owned car.
Yes.
Crows development coach Heath Uni on the phone next. Adelaide's Triple M with your dead set legends, Bernie, Bluey and Jars for CMI Toyota.
Let's talk some football. Under-23 showdown on today, Blue and family. Port Adelaide take on the Adelaide Crows, Thebe Oval, midday today. And one man that's coaching the Adelaide Crows and has done a terrific job, former North Adelaide superstar Heath Uni joins us. G'day, Heath.
Fellas, how are you going this morning?
Fantastic. Now, Heath, before I hand you over to Gregory, did he snub you at a school function because your little kiddies go to school together? He just looked at you as if he doesn't know who you are. Did that happen or not?
Mate, I was incognito, mate. I had my hat on, had my moustache, just down the local path, mate. So all good. Both our sons are in in school together, and they've started off well.
Yes, they have. They certainly have. They had Sam had his first hit of cricket with young Will. So
did he?
Yeah, because I couldn't. He's always golf, so he got him into it. Now, Heath, you take on Port Adelaide, of course, today. Looking forward to that one. What are you trying to get out of the game? Obviously, want to win it, but have a look at some decent talent.
Yeah, look, a fantastic game today against Port. Both sides are strong, and you know, for a number of our guys who haven't had a taste against an opposition yet, it's a great opportunity not only for our, you know, our first round draft picks or our draft picks this year, but some of our guys who haven't yet played a game this year. So looking forward to it. Some quality talent. I encourage all supporters to get down there. It's the future of both footy clubs on show today.
So you've got Cole Hardigan playing, Darcy Fogarty, all those boys lining up, Heath?
Yeah, all playing. Obviously, you know, with Darcy, he had a little bit of a setback with some tightness in the hamstring over the last month. He's back now. He's had a wonderful summer. He's ready to go. He looks fit, strong. He's aggressive self. And Kyle had a little bit of a, you know, an ankle setback. He's going to play it, as is Paul Seisman. Paul missed last week with a with a wedding. He that was something that we knew about a long time ago. So he'll play today. So we're looking forward to those guys getting a run under their belt.
Sounds like you've had a really good pre-season. Not so good for Jordan Gallucci, who tweaked his hammy, did he?
Yeah, look, unfortunately for Jordan, he's had a bit of an interrupted pre-season, but his last month has been really solid. He's put together some fantastic training, and unfortunately on Thursday, just slight hamstring. Look, it's real low grade. He'll be back. I think he's back doing some running today. They get you going pretty quick these days. By the end of this week, he'll be back to hopefully full training and not miss too much footy.
Heath, during the week, head trauma in football, and we're seeing you know, the late, great Polly Farmer being diagnosed with CTE. Mate, there's now some talk. Mark Williams has come out and said, let's ban the bump in our great game of footy. I don't want you to touch the bump because it is it is part of our fabric of our game. What's your thoughts as a modern-day coach of the bump?
Yeah, I think, look, the rules are quite clear in that I think the bump needs to stay, but understandably, as a player, if you decide to make that bump, you need to make sure you avoid any head clash. And, you know, that's quite clear in the rules. But I'm with you, Jars. I don't want the bump to go. I think it's part of the fabric of the game. It's been in our game for a long time. As medical doctors, they're really conservative these days around head clashes. So the well-being of the player is always at the forefront of footy clubs, and I think we do a tremendous job in that space.
Now, you mentioned that young Will, 5 years of age, you've got a young son playing, you know, he'll no doubt play footy. What about your thoughts on, because I'm thinking from a cricket point of view, youngsters, mandatory helmets, they have to be used. What about it at the junior level of football?
It's a really interesting one, Bluey. I'm not a big fan on the helmets for two reasons. There's some research out there in NFL that the helmets actually don't protect or do anything around that head clash. And secondly, for me, it can give the athlete or the young kid a false sense of how he's going. Like, so you put a helmet on, it's like a protective gear. It's put your armour on, you go even harder. I think more importantly for young kids, and I say this to a lot of young coaches, I do a lot of coaching speaking, you got to coach the ground ball and the fundamentals of the game unbelievably well. Because that's where the accidents happen, is that when players don't understand the fundamentals of a ground ball. So, you know, I spend a lot of time talking to coaches about how you teach that technique to protect the player, because a lot of our young kids, their intent, they just want to crash in and get the ball. And I love that. We don't want to take that away from them, but we've got to protect them, and that's through the way we teach them a simple fundamental skill like ground ball.
Brilliant. Beautifully said, my boy. Proud of you. Now, good luck today. Enjoy it, and obviously you'll get a bit out of it, and just getting ready for round one in the sample. So enjoy today, and we'll speak again.
Good on you, fellas. Thanks for the support. Enjoy the show.
There he is, Heath Uni. Terrific job with the Crow Sample program. Beautifully said, too. Yep. Totally agree what he said.
That's because I asked you the same question off air, and you pretty much said the same thing. So very, very good.
At home with the legends, minutes away. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Oh, South Australia's number one selling Toyota dealership. I've got my Camry. Love it. Got it from Adam down at West Terrace. Beautiful, beautiful people down there. What are you driving? You got a Toyota? What kind of Toyota?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
But well, is get Bernie, a bloody Toyota. Bernie, Bernie's mate, got it's, a beautiful Toyota. He's got his from Jace at Christie's Beach.
We're sort of...
Okay, I'm sorry.
Keep you posted on that.
Riggs down at Cheltenham. My son bought his car down there in Cheltenham. They look after your family. You know, they're a family business, a South Australian family business. South Australia's number one selling Toyota dealership. They're on our show. They've looked after us for 9 years. All right? So get around them.
Love it. Love it.
They get around them. Now, up next, we're going to track someone down at home with a legend.
Just sorted it out then. Big Bernie. Bernie's on.
No.
Bernie's on.
I'm trying to...
He's what? Trying to build the excitement.
I was
excitement.
Building the anticipation, and you've gone, oh, Bernie's on.
Bernie's on!
No, but I didn't want to tell the... Oh, hello. Turn this up, lovey. Oh, here we
bit
go.
Of Led Zepp for you, Jars. Dead Set Legends on Triple M. ...104.7 Adelaide's Triple M with your Dead Set Legends, Bernie, Bluey and Jars for CMI Toyota.
Now, as we've been discussing for the last month, Jars,
yes,
the opener says Bernie, Bluey and Jars.
We have covered
and
that.
And we haven't had Bernie.
Not at all.
At all. But we've tracked him down. He's he's on the York Peninsula again. Bernie? Bernie?
Yeah, good. Boys? Yes, I'm here.
You all set what for today? What's happening today? You got a final on today?
We have got a final, mate. Big game. Coming off a very poor loss last week, so we need to rebound very quickly because she's a knockout final today. So, big day. Beautiful day over here, though.
50 overs? 20 overs? What are you...
45 overs, mate. So, start at 12:30 and you can actually follow it live if you want to follow it.
Oh, hang on. What? Well, we're watching Test cricket, are we?
Oh, it's basically... it's up with Test cricket, yeah. The quality.
What's your role tonight? Where are you batting? Well, you open the bowling? Yeah, what's happening?
I'll probably open the bowling. I'll come in about 5. So I was in very early last week.
Were you?
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing last week. We're not talking about last week anymore.
So what? So the question is, where are you? Why can't you do the show then drive up there?
Nah, I finished too late. So I'm sort of starting the show when things get serious, when the footy season starts. I'll let you guys do the Mickey. You're doing the pre-season, the Marsh Cup at the moment. And then when the real stuff starts, that's when I come in with a bit of quality control, you know?
Yeah, I like it. Now, rumour has it you and Jars played golf again during the week, and Jars equally as disappointing as the previous time.
He was better. He was better. I know his score was exactly the same, but he was better. He had lot of sand issues again. I think he may need a bunker lesson, or he might need to play on a course with a little bit less bunkers, because for some reason he seems to find everyone. And quite often, he went from one that had 5 in one of the bunkers, land on the green, finally get out. Oh, well done, you're out. Oh, no. Good news or the bad news, Dad would say. Giving it to him. The good news is you're out of that one. The bad news is you're in the next one.
So your little cherry was the camel grass got it quite a lot. Hey, now, Bern, what about, don't tell me the dress standards were up to scratch and he wasn't wearing the same shirt.
Mate, I think we've actually finally starting to sink in because he had a new kit.
Did he?
He did wear pants, but I let him off because it wasn't as hot as what it was. 38 degrees that first day he wore pants. It was only about 25, 26 when we played. So I'll actually give him a tick for that.
Mm.
Not sure about his Greg Chappell white bucket hat that he wears. That's awful.
No.
He needs to get rid of it. There's sweat patches all through it.
No.
It's a little bit embarrassing when I walk in the club and he's taking that off and putting it on the ground. It's unhygienic. People were walking out and they saw it. In fact, I've got to try and concentrate and play golf, and I'll turn around and there's my partner wearing a bloody hat that's been around for about 45 years.
So he didn't put you off your game. So everything's is he improving?
Well, he did say that.
I'm not talking more about your standard. I'm talking about the way you behave on a golf course.
There's never been an issue with my behaviour. I don't know who you've been talking to.
There certainly has been an issue.
What?
It's a lot better. No, it was better. The whole day was a lot easier. We finished in just about 4 hours on the dot, just over 4 hours.
That's
so
good, yep.
Down from 5.5?
Yep, it wasn't a whole day.
Bloody hell.
We had to come back the next day and finish.
Come on.
But that was good. He's actually improving a lot. Like
thanks,
because he's going for his handicap, he had to count every shot, as you know. So a lot of holes that would have been just a wipe and he'd move on, but he had to. Yeah, he had the excavator out a few times.
So
it wasn't Dad giving it to you, Joe.
So at this stage, Byrne, we're dealing with getting his handicap. So he's par 72. He's had two rounds of 122. He's going to be playing off 50.
He's 50 over.
He's 50.
I don't know whether you're allowed to play off that.
You are now. You're allowed to play off handicap. I think the maximum is 54. So Jars is going to be 50.
Oh, no, that is embarrassing.
1, 2, 3, 5, 3. If you play off 50, give me a call.
I think the max is 36.
Has
that changed?
Oh, geez.
All right. Good luck, mate. Today.
Good. Go well today. Smack.
Thanks, boys.
Smack him.
Redbacks captain Travis Hare joins the Legends after 10. Triple M.
Yes, welcome back to the second hour of Dead Set Legends with you right through till 12. Of course, Andrew Jarman joining me along with Emma G. First show.
Em, well
she's
done,
doing
Em.
A great job.
Thanks,
Emma.
Guys. Survived my first hour.
we got a big hour coming up. We've got Travis Head, Test Vice Captain, Redbacks Captain, of course. We'll just ask him a little bit about...
I was so disappointed with that result against New South Wales.
Well, we're on a bit of a
second
roll.
String side and we couldn't beat them.
Well, their experienced players stood up. They had a... Yeah, what? We had a good chance to beat them, actually. Okay. So it was a good. But anyway, we'll ask
Did
Trav.
I jump the gun with my text messages to
no.
you again?
Well, we had a bit of a sniff to win that game, but they right. we were chasing 400 on day four, so right it was tough work. But we'll hear from Travis Head, which we're looking forward to, and then the 36ers. We've got to talk about the 36ers,
it's getting
Jars,
ugly,
because
mate.
No, there's some stuff that's come out again this morning. Eric Griffin and Jerome Randall have had their little thing to say about their ex-coach, Joey Wright. So we'll discuss all the fallout. And you want to talk about a cricket law as well.
Yes, I do. The man cad. All right. In the T20 World Cup in the women's. Got a bit nasty.
Okay. All right. All that coming up this hour.
Go, G. Did Maddie the boss send you a text?
Yeah, he said I was doing a good job.
You are?
Oh, yes.
Thanks, guys.
Did he mention us?
Triple M, Bernie, Bluey and Jars are your Dead Set Legends.
Nice work, G. Now, obviously, the 36ers, absolute turmoil the last 48 hours.
Oh,
it's
horrible.
I cannot believe what's going on.
No.
A basket case is the front page of today's Tizer. 36ers in turmoil. Co-captain unleashes on departing coach. Accusations of racial divide. Club probe assault claim. It's not stopping.
Mm.
And you'll read out a couple of players have come out overnight.
Yes.
Before we get into that.
Well, apparently Fox Sports got in touch with a couple of the players that didn't want to be interviewed, but sort of off the record, let them know. Eric Griffin and Jerome Randall.
Dear.
So Eric Griffin has said he's trying to sabotage our names in a bad way. He's trying to mess up our resume and our reputation, when in actuality, it wasn't that at all. It was more deeper than that. And what he's saying, he's got in guys' heads and manipulated them and messed them up. Jerome Randall's gone on a bit of a
rant.
Yeah, a bit of a rant. Or just but he's more worried about his reputation as well. I train kids and I teach them to come and work their asses off every time, he said asses, every time they step on the floor, not only for downgrading me as a basketball player, but as a person as well, because I care about the things I do off the court as well. So
and on top of co-captain Kevin White's comments, I just want to play a couple of grabs. Joey Wright spoke to SEN Radio yesterday. All right. We tried to get him on the rush hour yesterday. He declined to come on.
Lots of people would have been trying to get him. Yep.
Here's Joey Wright on how it all came about regarding his comments.
Those comments were made. Every team has comments they make behind closed doors. We had a team that wasn't cohesive. And my attempt to bring them cohesive was a lot of messages about, you know, coming together, and a lot of tough messages about, you know, them liking each other and them hanging out with each other and them trying to do the right thing. The comments that were in a private chat message between coaches is an area where coaches go to vent. We go there to vent. We go there to say stuff. Players have their chat messages that, you know, was published. It would just look disastrous. It defame everybody, and we have a chat group with coaches and players both in it that I could put out messages that would make every single player on that team look like an idiot. And that's just not what you do. That's not what you do, because they're going there to vent. They're going there to, you know, crack jokes. Some of the stuff we say in those those things are just with that. And we put a disclaimer in there that this is not for public use. This is only private and it's never to be published. A disgruntled coach and Darren Golley, was a disgruntled coach, sent that over to the players, and that's extremely disappointing.
Gee. So that was a group chat amongst the coaching staff.
And each team, you know, the Crows that have it, Port Power, I know the Redbacks have got it. You've got your WhatsApp groups you know, to get information around. So, tick for tat at the moment. But, you know, obviously Joey Wright's trying to get his point of view across as well.
Here he is again. Were you bullying comments the reason of your departure as coach?
Departing had nothing to do with Kevin's comments. It's just an opportunity now that I'm not the coach for anyone weak out there to come at me, because I really don't have a voice or a stance or anything anymore. I'm just a regular Joe at this point in time.
And reading the articles, Jars, it's like there were problems in preseason, weren't there? I mean, as a coach, that would be a bad way to start your year, when you go away on a camp and they put guys together in rooms and then they then go and try and work out their own rooms. And so he knew straight away, and he said it himself. He said, maybe I wasn't good enough to try and get the guys together throughout the season, but clearly there were some major cracks in that squad, weren't they?
Here he is. What do you think co-captain Kevin White said all this about you?
I'm not sure. I mean, I actually, you know, my exit conversation with Kevin White was all about apologizing to him for probably putting him under tough circumstances. I expected him to come in here and be a leader amongst his team, and he kind of stood back. And, you know, if I told, you know, the media or public the reasons why he told me he stood back, he wouldn't look that great. But I'm not going to do that. I'll never, ever, ever betray a player's confidence or another coach's confidence. What they say to me will always stay with me. And so I'm not sure why Kevin would do that. And, you know, I would never do that to him, even though he's, you know, done that to me.
So Kevin White's sticking up for his team.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what he's doing. He's teammates. Backing in the team.
I'll tell you what sort of
Can you believe what you're hearing?
No,
can you
see? No, I can't.
It was meant to be a handshake agreement between the two parties, the owner, Grant Kelly, who's done a wonderful job, and Kev and Joey, right? No problems. And then it's bang.
I can't believe how unhappy they all were. Yes, I mean, it was very, very divided, and no wonder they didn't get the results. But I reckon it all kicked off when Joey Wright, in one of his departing press conferences, not press conference, but he did an interview and he named players, didn't he? Or he referred to four players that didn't have his back.
Yes.
And that's what's kicked it all off because, you know, other players think, hang on, that's not right. We want to get our point of view across. So I reckon that's what sort of instigated it all.
It's getting ugly. CEO Benny Cavanaugh does a terrific job. He's overseas at the moment, so he's obviously thinking, oh, no, you know, what's going on? Because off-field, they've done a terrific job since they've moved to the entertainment centre.
That's right.
Sponsorships up, corporates are up, done a superb job, and you give them a big tick. But on court, it's getting out of control.
There'd be some emails and some conversations going around at the moment, because I gather most of these players must be off contract, because if you're on contract, you've got some...
Yeah, you keep
quiet. They'll be getting fined a lot of money for making a lot of these comments, but they sound frustrated and want to get what happened out there, and so everyone else can make up their own minds. But very, very ugly indeed.
Redbacks coach Travis Head, 20 minutes away on the Dead Set Legends phone with Bernie, Bluey and Jars for CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer. Adelaide's Triple M Dead Set Legends, Bernie, Vince, Greg Blewett and Andrew Jarman for CMI Toyota.
Now, Jars, this coronavirus is causing all sorts of problems all around the world. Yep. The stock market has crashed.
Smashed.
So you came in tears. You're about $500 million down.
No, half a trillion down.
Half a trillion.
I'm down.
Down. But it's also having major effects on a lot of sports around the world as well. Listen to what Tom Brown said last night on Triple M.
Just a brief one before we finish our news segment tonight. I spoke to some AFL officials downstairs before. It's pretty much an open secret now, but I can absolutely say it officially that China is not going ahead between St Kilda and Port. Yeah.
He must have been listening to us, Tommy Brown, because we said that weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right. Honestly, we were sort of
Tom, get some new material on the wall, mate.
So he's saying 100%.
Yeah. They'll play the game. They'll be back here on a Monday night playing at probably Etihad Stadium. Yeah.
We'll ask. Well, Jay Clark's coming up in the third hour, so we'll ask him about that.
Nice hook,
as
mate.
Well. Now, what about we asked you a question about? Yes. Well, you came up with something a week or so ago about the coronavirus as well.
Tokyo Games, the Olympics.
Oh, wow. Really?
Mm.
But that's Japan.
Because they're worried about the coronavirus
in Japan. Because it's China is where the virus is, so I imagine.
But the virus is everywhere, mate.
Well,
well, we shouldn't laugh because people are dying from this terrible virus.
Yeah, yeah. Tokyo is in China. You've gone, no, but it's everywhere. That was a good out. You saved yourself.
No. But all I'm saying is that there is some discussions that the Olympics
could be under
threat because
that
of this virus.
Mate. Well, hang on,
Floghead. Why did you two laugh? Because when it's serious. It's serious.
No, because
and
you
and Bernie
thought,
giggling like a little kid, and no, you're just giggling with him. I was giving you some very good intel.
You thought the Olympics were in China.
No, I did not say that at all.
No, all right, but no, you might have been.
No, I said, the virus. The virus has come out of China.
Yes,
and the Tokyo Games are under threat as we speak. That's all I had to say.
Well, you might have been spot on. Listen.
The 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo might be cancelled because of the outbreak.
A senior member of the International Olympics Committee told the Associated Press, you're probably looking at a cancellation if the coronavirus outbreak isn't curtailed by May.
You're talking about hundreds of thousands of people coming from 200 plus countries, all staying in close quarters here in Tokyo for a few weeks and then going back out to their home countries. If they don't get this thing under control, the potential for a major public health crisis and outbreak is huge.
How quick do they talk, these Americans?
Yeah, I know. What about their twang?
Friday, the 24th of July is when the games will begin.
Mm.
So when will they make a decision? End of May?
Oh, I don't. That is the ramifications for the Olympics not going ahead is mind-boggling.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But also at the moment too, because it's not too far away, there's qualifiers going on as well in all sorts of sports for the Olympics. Let's listen to what Matt Carroll, who was Australian Olympic CEO, had to say about that.
There are still qualifiers going on for the Olympic Games. There's one just in Melbourne on the weekend or last weekend, which was meant to be in China, got moved. Boxing is in the Middle East. There's some concerns around the area where they are going to be. So those things will be moved. The Chinese Olympic Committee is already moving their athletes out of China, so there's no issues with that. We'll have information from the IOC, which will be going out to all the National Olympic Committees to manage their athletes. From our point of view, so we're collecting all the data from the sports where they're going to be. The federal government has been excellent in supplying us with help, and the Department of Foreign Affairs, once I have that information, I will also give that to them, and they'll be able to give us advice about where potential issues may arise. That will protect the athletes, because first and foremost is looking after the athletes, not just their health, but also their well-being.
So there you go. That is a developing story, isn't it?
It's a worry, mate.
Because I love the Olympics.
I know you do.
I love the Olympics. But as you're saying, the health. So I don't know. Will they come up with a vaccine before then?
That'll take 2 years to find a vaccine. Yeah, talking to one of my doctors, Dr. Jeffrey Verrill. He said it takes 2 years.
He's our doctor.
Yeah, I know. He's my personal doctor.
Yeah. Well, he's mine as well.
There was a report during the week.
Yeah.
The Melbourne Grand Prix, if not the Grand Prix, will be shut down. And they're saying AFL football may be shut down because that was a report during the week. So do you have an empty stadium and just the players play if it gets that bad? If the virus gets that bad in Australia.
God.
No, that's the ramifications and that's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
so
well,
let's just, I hope it's not a media beat up, but we just got to be very careful and make sure that.
All right. Well, we'll see how that transpires, but that is very worrying.
Or does the games get shifted? Does the Tokyo Games go to another country?
Well, it's this virus is going everywhere, isn't it?
I'd throw that out there. That's all right.
I don't think they'd be able to do it at that short notice.
True.
Anyway, plenty to come. Travis Head coming up this hour.
And overnight scoreboard next. Dead Set Legends on Triple M.
Okie dokie, let's get underway.
What's going on, Jazz?
Now, the Vics belted the All-Stars by 46 points last night. 24 goals 10 to 15 goals 18. That's what you want to see in home and away footy.
That's right.
Fantastic. 51,000 fans turned up. You watched it.
You want to see a little bit more defence in real football, as you call it. But I enjoyed it last night.
Everyone, congratulations to everyone involved. All right, don't get me wrong, to support the bushfire relief match. And now, we can't find a figure on what total was raised last night. Do you know any? Have you heard what's that?
No, well, I reckon Scott Pendlebury was interviewed after the game. Right. He mentioned a figure of around about $6 million because he was talking about the game, the crowd, all that. And if we can get together and earn that amount of money.
But then you don't officially
know. No, that's not official. Okay.
Well, if someone can help us out, that'd be nice. And fans have mocked the decision toward Dusty Martin, BOG, the BOG medal. Mm. All right, you didn't think he deserved it.
He played well, had a very big impact on the game, but I thought Papley was probably the BOG.
We did a poll early in the show and we got the phones. Bring back State of Origin. 12% said yes, as is. 20% said no, it's Mickey Mouse.
Mm.
And 66% said yes, but as state of origin.
Yes.
The states.
Yeah, that's the poll. AFL got to be really careful about how they promote that game last night because they built it up as state of origin, but it wasn't.
Okay, let's go where there's the under 23 showdown today. Port v. the Adelaide Crows family at Febby Oval, midday. It starts when we finish. Go and see some wonderful talent. We caught up with Heath Yinney from the Adelaide Crows and spoke beautifully. The superstar's back. She's back. Erin Phillips will play her first game for the since the knee recon tomorrow. V. Colton, Richmond Oval.
Right.
So good luck to the girls.
Should forward pocket or something like that?
Just play deep in the forward line.
Okay.
Manage your minutes.
Kick a
couple.
That's
all. Yeah. Just get a touch. Yep. Don't worry about kicking goals. Just get a touch. Yep. Get your confidence back.
Nice.
I think you and I golf clap here. They made a decision on the bloody drug cheat Chinese swimmer Sung Yang Ling Ding 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 Ling Ding Ding.
Sung Yang.
Yeah, that'll do.
8 years.
He's been banned for 8 years. What did you say then?
8 years he got.
Well done. All right. Good.
Awesome.
Good.
Yes. Good riddance.
What's your message to kiddies?
Don't cheat.
And work
hard.
That's it. Basketball news. Tasmania will get their first NBL team since 1996, Gregory.
Wow.
The team will be based in Hobart's northern suburbs. How good's that?
That is good. Where did you get that intel from?
Well, it's in the news.
All right.
Well, that's great. I'm making that up, am I?
No. Well, of course
not. And I tell you what has to be next, an AFL team in Tassie.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Shut down two Victorian teams, merge them, and then have a team.
Ooh.
Yeah, serious.
Which ones?
Oh, I'd go North Melbourne.
Oh, hang on.
And I'd go Melbourne Footy Club.
Melbourne Football Club.
Aussies take on South Africa. Game one of three tonight in 50 overs, 9:30 hit off.
Yes.
All good? You happy with the boys?
Not a bad
way to go
to bed, is it? Watch the first sort of 20, 25 overs, whatever?
Yeah, well, I've got my cricket today, so I've got to be ready.
Good luck.
Yeah. And Tongue in Cheek's my local rock and roll band. All right. This is a good local club supporting the West Beach Surf Life Saving Club. They're on tonight at 8 o'clock. Now, I manage this band. I used to be a band manager, Brassy and the boys.
Right.
Very good.
What sort of style
they
of music?
They do covers. Oh, mate, they're good.
Right.
Yep. So go and support the club tonight. That's Tongue in Cheek. And Gazer Cricket Club have got their 30th anniversary coming up for cricket in March. I think it's the 13th.
Right.
That's going to be a big night.
Disappointing you're not playing cricket for Gazer now that you're back playing.
That's honestly. That's the scoreboard, my loves. That's the scoreboard, G.
That's all you got, Jas?
That's it.
Yeah. All right, local football is back. Visit footballsa.com.au for full NPL fixtures and results. Next, Redbacks captain Travis Head on the phone with Bernie, Bluey and Jars in minutes. Triple M with your Dead Set Legends, Bernie, Bluey and Jars for CMI Toyota.
Time to talk some cricket, Jars.
Yes,
and
sir.
Our next guest is a very, very busy man. He's vice captain of the Australian Test team. He's captain of the Redbacks. He's captain of the Strikers.
Mm.
And he's just back from Sydney where the Redbacks went down to New South Wales. And that man is Travis Head. Good morning, Trav.
Boys, Louis Jars.
G'day, Trav.
And you, mate, are you moving today? Are you packing boxes what's going on today?
Trav.
Yes, Blue. You can go play golf. I've got to pack boxes all day. So, we're just in the process of moving up. So, it's exciting times.
Sounds like a great day, mate. Enjoy that. Now
not moving.
Yeah, moving.
Oh.
One of the worst jobs of all time.
Well, if you're a mentor and a good friend for poor old Trav, he's got to protect his hands. Why don't you go and help him?
Oh, he's got to sacrifice his golf game. He's hired
exactly.
About
good point, Jars. Trav? 28 degrees and sunny.
Good boy.
He's hired about 5 or 6 people to help him. Oh. He's not doing anything. Now, Travy, as I said, back from Sydney, and we're on a bit of a roll, weren't we? Back-to-back wins, and then we came up against New South Wales, and we just couldn't quite get the job done.
Yeah, we're piecing it together, and it's obviously, as you know, it's about being as consistent as we can be and making sure it can be a tough summer, and it's about backing up and then consistently coming. And unfortunately, we weren't able to piece together the 4 days that we had against the Whackers, and disappointing too. I felt like we were in the game bowling them out for 370 and just didn't quite bat as well as we would have liked in the first innings. Got found out a couple of times by some good bowling and some good plans, and it probably put us on the back foot, and I felt like we were in the game at tee on day 4, but just too much to try to do on the last day, and probably disappointing to come out with a loss and not a draw. But we just need to be as consistent as we can be for the remainder of the year.
Trav, the last couple of years has been a disappointing in terms of wins and losses and where we finished on the ladder. Now, I know everyone's working hard, and I know I've been a bit critical because I love the Redbacks. I love the cricket, and I reckon I've been whacked by some people inside your organisation for being a bit outspoken, but I'm passionate. Can we see some change going forward? Where do you think we've got to get better to become like a New South Wales who keep winning championships and shields after shields after shields instead of being a middle road type state of cricket? Is that too harsh, Trav, or am I just, on the road?
No, I think I love the passion. I think I love, I've said that before about South Australians, they expect us to win. And I think you see it in the footy with Port Adelaide and the Crows, and you see it with us. I think got people passionate about seeing South Australia do well, and so they should. I think the Strikers have come at a great time, I think, in South Australian cricket,
where
we're
good.
Able to see some results, and we've been able to win silverware there, and we've sort of given back a little bit where I think we should be a lot better in the Shield. It's just about being more consistent. It's about being able to do what we're able to do in the last 2 weeks with back-to-back games, before Christmas and post-Christmas. We've just been really consistent in what we're doing, and if we can continue to do that day in, day out, that's what the good teams do. We are as talented as the best teams. I think we've got the quality to be the best team, and I think in the past, we finished top and we've missed our chance, obviously, a couple of times to win a Shield, and we've put ourselves in that position. If you put yourself in the position enough times and you're consistent enough at what you do over and over and over again, that's what the good teams do. So that's what we're trying to work desperately hard at, and that's why this week was disappointing, because we did have a good thing going. We've been training exceptionally well.
Yeah.
The group's gelling, the vibe's good. Good teams continue to put good performances on the board.
Yeah, that first innings really let us down. But some good news did come out of that round, Trav, because we've got Victoria at the end of this week coming up, and then we've got Queensland in the last game. Now, Queensland sits second on 33 points.
And where are we?
So we're fifth on 27 points. So we're one game second spot. So, as I said, Queensland lost, WA lost. So we win back-to-back games to finish the season, and we still could be playing in a final.
In a final.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And the Vicks winning, I think, helps us because obviously we've seen the last 2 weeks they've come very aggressive. They've had very, aggressive declarations, given the opposition a great chance to win the game. So I think the best part to come out of that this week is both teams are looking for a win. So I know we had a bit of a hiccup at the start of the year on who didn't want to win a game, and then we had a bit of a spit over a draw, but I don't think that'll be the case this week. So I think it's great for the round that obviously they won. They've been playing pretty aggressive cricket, so I think we'll have a pretty good fixture next week.
Trav, really appreciate your chat. How would you describe Greg Blewett on the road?
On the road? Don't see him much.
Oh!
Don't see him much.
Every player says that. What do you actually do down there?
There was a very, very interesting fasting session that I wouldn't mind going into a bit later, maybe in the show. But him and the coach, Jamie Siddons, went through a fasting period. No food between lunch and lunch.
Yep.
But there
24
was
hours. Had.
There was scones, there was a sandwich, there was banana bread, but didn't count. So I'm not sure about that.
I lasted longer than the coach as well, because he had a little toasty sandwich that morning that you mightn't be aware of.
I wasn't sure. It was an interesting fasting session, but no, he literally got a couple of strides. He always does strides right in front of the copper and dry trailer on Saturday.
Here we go.
Good boy, Trev. No, thanks for your time, mate, and wish you all the best for the rest of the games.
Yeah. Bluey, good luck today, mate. Go well.
Thank you. Have a great day packing, mate. Deal for you.
Thanks, boys. 40 points. Cheers.
There we go.
Oh, Josh, is that me?
Is that you?
Hey, up next, I'm going to talk to you about to man CAD or not to man CAD.
Ooh,
all right?
That's
You're our cricket expert.
Interesting debate.
All right, that'll be a good little chat between you and I up next.
Phil Smythe also on the show and Jay Clark still to come. I've also got a couple of prizes here to give away.
What have you got, G?
Have you guys been getting amongst the fringe at all?
No.
What?
I haven't.
You're there every night, Jay.
I love it. You got to get around
it. What do you got?
A couple of tickets to see Eddie Ift. Eddie Ift returns to the Garden with his brand new hour of comedy, Dr. Google 133353 for that.
So you're giving away free tickets now?
Sure am.
So just give us a call.
Yeah.
Well done, Jay.
Easy as that.
No, well played.
Dead Set Legends on Adelaide's Triple M.
Mancats.
Triple M with Bernie, Bluey and Jars, your dead set legends for CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealership.
Well done, G. T20 World Cup match between the Poms and South Africa early in the week, right? English bowler Kath Brunt chose not to dismiss the non-striker who was out of her crease. This is v South Africa, Blue, and they went on to win the game. She had a chance to man-cad.
Who went on to win it? South Africa won.
South Africa did.
Right.
And the English bowler chose not to do it. Now, where does that rule sit? Is that in the spirit of the game? Batsman showing no respect to the bowler? What's your thoughts, young man?
My thoughts are it's a legitimate dismissal if you, I reckon, one warning. You've got to tell the batsman or the batter that, no, you're creeping, I can see. Because it is a form of cheating. There's no doubt about
it. From the batsman.
Like, from the batsman.
More and more
non-strikers.
More and more batsmen are doing
it. Yeah, and before, like, even when I was playing, there was, like, guys literally running before the ball was bowled. So they'd get, like, 2 metres head start. So all the slow coaches. And even when the game is on the line and you might need a run to win or whatever and people, you know, just start sprinting, that's not a legitimate run. But I do believe that it shouldn't just come out of nowhere like a – the bowler just takes the bails off and goes, right, nah, you're out. I think you should get one warning. I think that's in the spirit of the game to do that.
Just a warning.
One warning. So you do that again, I'm going to take the bails off and see you later.
So why didn't Kath Brunt do it?
Well, that was the first time. So I agree. Like, she just gave her a warning from the sounds of it. I didn't see it. So that's my take on it. What do you think?
Now, I as a bowler, I'm more of a bowler than a batter, and if I saw a batsman doing that to me, I'd give him the warning, making sure that the umpire heard me give the batsman the warning.
Yeah, and then
do it. But this Kath Brunt got an absolute barrage of abuse for not doing it.
Ah, no, I think she did the right thing.
She cost her country a T20 game.
Well, she didn't because
but South Africa went on to win the game. If she had done it. That girl was out. The South African batsman was out.
No, but the South African didn't get the extra run because she just gave him a warning. So that was like a dead ball.
Yeah,
so,
correct.
Anyway.
Here's Crash Craddock, good mate of yours.
Yes.
Australian cricket writer. This is his take on it.
For 20 years, I argued that the spirit of the game should be preserved and we shouldn't have man-cads. And I said that in honour of a guy who lived in Brisbane, Bill Brown, who was the first player man-catted by Vinu Mancad. That's where it came from when India toured Australia. But I just think there's so many warnings to batters now. And Shervo, answer me this. When bowlers transgress the line by that much, they get called, they get no balled, yet batsmen allowed to go this far down the crease. And it's the spirit of the game if you take action. So I'm sorry, zero sympathy for me on the man-cads from now on.
Thoughts?
Well, there you go. I think he's saying what we're saying, Jars. But as long as I think it shouldn't just come out of the blue.
Yeah.
And because I've seen man-cads in junior cricket, I think it was the under-19 World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, a batsman was like an inch out of their crease and sort of almost looking at where the bowler was bowling from, and then his eyes are gone to the to the striker's end and just assuming that they're going to let the ball go and they didn't, and he was like an inch out of his crease and they took the bails off and on your bite. That to me is wrong.
No.
Well said. Anyway.
Phil Smyth in the next 20 on Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Welcome to the last hour of Dead Set Legends on this 29th of February. Jars, are you enjoying this extra day? You know, it's a pretty special day.
Yeah, it's a very good day.
An extra day in February.
What is
leap
it?
Year.
Leap year. Yeah. Very nice. Beautiful weather.
Yes. 27 degrees. You're playing a bit of cricket. I'm playing a bit of golf.
Had that. Hang on. Been away. Right,
yes.
You've been away from your lovely wife and your kiddies.
Yes.
And then you've... here for 3 hours, if not four, and then you're going straight to a golf course.
Yes, I am. Yep.
Well, why?
Because
well,
I've got a beautiful...
Why aren't you taking Catherine to the Fringe or on a nice
well,
romantic
she's got
picnic?
A she's got another engagement that she's going to with the children.
She's so patient.
And I was going to have the day off golf, but she said, no, why don't you go and play, enjoy yourself.
Who are you playing with today?
I'm playing with a couple of guys, Adrian, Richard, and little Callum Ferguson's
Ferg.
Little Ferg's got...
Yeah, how's he going, Ferg?
He's going well. He
could have won us the game. Yeah, he could have won us the game.
Yeah, we got caught down the leg side.
Well,
it was
what
a little
are you playing
bit...
down leg side for?
He's trying to Sorry. Score runs. So what? He got 40 and 80-odd, I think. So,
yeah,
looking forward to that. And you're playing cricket?
We're up at Gawler.
Up at Gawler.
Brother
Not
and
far
I.
to go.
Gawler. You're playing against my old mate, Scotty Lee, the agitator.
Scotty Lee.
Oh, you come and huff and puff. You'll have your shirt undone. You know, bottles of rubbish.
Lots to come on this hour, Jars.
What do you got?
Bernie's Beef. So that's done on Tuesdays, isn't
yeah,
it? On Rush
yeah,
Hour. So
good one from Bern. Yeah.
I haven't heard that one, so right I'm on. Looking forward yeah. to that. Jay Clark is going to join us as well, as he always does in the third hour of Dead Set Legends, your scoreboard. Now, the General is on.
Yeah.
So he attended the 150. Year
Port Adelaide
event.
Anniversary last night. They had 1,600 at the convention centre.
Nice.
Port Adelaide. They must have been at $200 a ticket. He was there because his grandfather played in three premierships for Port Adelaide back in 1913, 14 and 15.
Right.
And they were and his dad was in, his grandfather was in the war.
All right.
So we'll have a quick chat about that and also about Jerry Wright and the scandal.
Yes, we will. Koshy was on our flight yesterday.
Was
he would have been coming
did
over.
Did you say hello?
I did. Yep, and he had his suit, had his Hugo Boss suit, he was ready to go. So
well done.
We'll talk to Smythe about that. Now, after this Your Jars Jam, of course, we'll talk about the bump in footy.
Yeah, we need to
does
discuss
it. Does it stay,
yeah,
does it go?
Because it's been some terrible news about concussion and players getting, you know, brain damage from playing our great game, which, yeah, we need to have a chat about that anyway.
All right, it is time for Jars Jam. Jars, what have you picked for us today?
Well, they rocked the Adelaide Oval, Adam Lambert and Queen. Smashed it 50,000, so I thought I'd play one of the songs.
Love it. You were definitely channeling your inner Freddie Mercury earlier this week, weren't you?
Yes.
And there's a little bit of Adam Lambert coming into me as a little bit as well.
Is that right?
Just maybe a little fingernail I might just paint. Turn it up, G. Oh.
Yeah, they were here on Wednesday night at Adelaide Oval, Queen, live on Triple M with your Dead Set Legends, Bernie Vince, Greg Blewett and Andrew Jarman.
Nice. What a song. Well done, Jars. Now, of course, concussion. In all sports, very topical at the moment.
It is,
Of course, Polly Farmer had his brain looked at, didn't he? And was confirmed that he had CTE.
Mm.
And a lot of ex-players are coming out and talking about their problems.
Yep.
And, of course, Choco Williams and a few others have sort of come out and said, ban the bump in football. Jars?
Well, the ramifications for the future of AFL football and our code is a concern. If more and more of these players are diagnosed with CTE, all right? And that's just non-stop getting concussions and a lot of, you know, I think a Melbourne footballer has been ruled out for a year because he's still not getting over a hit from last year.
There was a West Coast Eagles guy as well played in the...
West Coast, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, West Coast, apologise.
Yep.
He's only 22 years old.
Yep.
Contact sports are already being modified, already, all right? Our kids are, you know, semi-contact sport. This is what we're talking about here. The question I ask you now in the family, could it spell the end of contact sports?
No.
No, but you've got to think through this.
Mm-hmm.
If Mark Williams and the AFL eventually say, yes, we're going to ban the bump, what's next? Ban the tackle.
Well, they're talking about, aren't they talking about no headers in junior soccer as well.
That, yep, yeah, they're absolutely. They're shutting that down. Yep. Helmets don't help players with concussion. Helmets, they don't. And doctors have told us that. They don't help. They don't assist at all. And Heath Uni said it when he spoke about it, didn't he?
Yeah, because we asked him about that at the junior level.
And look,
don't they help though, Juz? Do you know?
No, I'm not a doctor. Right, I'm not going there, sister. AFL are doing a great job to protect the players, today's players.
Yes.
They're a lot safer than when we were playing back in our day, even in the 60s and 70s. 60s and 70s, they were brutal.
Yes, they were.
It was thuggery at its best.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 80s, it cleaned up, and the 90s, it cleaned up. But now it's really safe for a player to play AFL football.
Protect
but
the
you
head.
You cannot bloody ban the bump. You cannot do that. It is part of our DNA. It is our gladiator sport. All right, and like Heath said, teach them about the fundamentals of ground ball. That's where it starts. You've got to play with instinctive footy, and you've got to know who's around. You've got to feel. When you play footy, you've got to have a feel of who's around you. All right, you don't just go blinkers and go, oh, that's where the footy is. When you go into a contest, you must have a feel. You've got to smell it and you can understand who's around you and then go for the football. And then look for danger spots when you go into a pack.
So why not? Okay, so I'm not disagreeing with you, Jars, because I, you know, the bump, and I grew up in similar era to you, like watching and you tough men go about it with the bumps and all that sort of stuff. But why not just tackle instead of bump?
Well, that's a good question, and that's what is encouraged now. Coaches today encourage their players; they'd prefer them to tackle than bump.
Mm.
All right, and look, we hardly see a bump, don't we?
No,
you can't ban it. You can't take it out of our game because today's players are being taught to tackle, and today's players tackle really well. It's gone to another level in terms of tackling. But what I worry about, if you start banning the bump, and then say if someone gets hurt tackling, say if they do research on how many players get concussion by being tackled, then in 5 or 10 years' time, we're going to ban the tackle.
Because that was happening a lot, wasn't it? There was guys pinning the arms
and then the sling. So they've controlled that. So do you get my point? Do you get what I'm saying? Is that you don't touch. It's not that bad.
But do you?
I couldn't believe. Look, I respect and totally understand what Mark Williams is trying to do. But Mark Williams, he come from a tough family. So I was surprised he came out and said that.
But if the players are getting taught to tackle and not bump, do you think eventually it'll get phased out of the game?
Oh, well, I don't know. I hope not. I hope not. You know, I coached grassroots footy for a period of time and local footy. There were some good bumps. There were some real
safe bumps.
Oh, yeah. And there were some that probably just crossed the line, but that's more technique. But when you're coaching kids today and young men today, you don't do a training drill on bumps. You know, because blokes don't know how to protect themselves. But you've got to be aware. You know, there might be. So if I'm chasing you, opposition player, he'll try and bump you. You know, my teammate. So your teammate will try and bump me to give you more, you know, meters or give you some space and time with the footy. You can't lose that.
Yep.
But the guy that's coming in to your teammate that's coming in to take me out, do it properly. But I've got to be aware. I've got to be, all right, here he comes. And then, you know.
But this is a big issue in all sport as well. So you can understand the organisations being very, very careful now going forward because the AFL will be getting sued for lots and lots of money. The NFL being sued for lots of money because of these concussion issues. So I can understand both sides of the argument. But, the bump. I totally agree with what you're saying, Jase.
And you're right. And so now we've got to watch with interest about these lawsuits. Could there be lawsuits coming into our game?
Oh, without
doubt. And the AFL will be absolutely petrified. The NRL. Yes. So it's a bigger picture.
NFL overseas as well. There's
correct.
Yeah.
So anyway, but please leave the bump alone.
Get involved on Twitter. Share your thoughts with us at Triple M Adelaide and 133353 to be part of the show all morning next. One of the greats, Phil Smyth, on the Dead Set Legends. Triple M. Adelaide's Triple M with Bernie, Bluey and Jars. They are your Dead Set Legends for CMI Toyota, SA's number one Toyota dealer.
Big night for the Port Adelaide Football Club last night, of course, celebrating 150 years. And they had their gala dinner and this man was there and I believe was on stage getting interviewed. And that is none other than this great man, isn't he?
Yeah.
Phil Smyth. Good morning, Phil.
Bluey, great to talk to you and Jars, mate, and I'm glad Bernie's not there. If he's not going to compete with the team, be a team player, mate, just cut him loose.
No, well
cut
said.
Him loose, I say, let him go.
Well said, well said. Hey, how was last night, Smythe?
I'm telling you, it was an absolutely fantastic night. I went with my mum. She's 89 years old. She doesn't like to go to functions. In fact, that's the fourth one now she's ever been to in her whole life.
Wow.
But it was a really emotive night. You know, they went right back to the start of the club, and obviously to where they are now. And there were some unbelievable spine-chilling moments in the room. It was fantastic.
So, Phil, you were there because, a great story, your grandfather played for Port Magpies.
You're quite right, Jars. Look, I knew he played footy before. He never talked about himself that much. But a couple of years ago, Anzac Day came round and people started doing some research. And William Drummond is his name, of course. Found out that he played in the 1913, 1914 and 1915 teams. Now, the 1914 team was undefeated, went on to win the grand final. Then they had what they called the Australian Championships, where you played the team that won it in Melbourne in the VFL in that time. So they played Carlton and beat them. And the year before that, they played Fitzroy and beat them. But they didn't lose a game in 1940, but they only played 12 games that season. It's unbelievable, isn't it? And then the two games to win the grand final. But what I didn't know about him, I knew he served in the war, but I didn't know he was the first Port player to ever receive the military medal for bravery.
Wow.
And that's the great story. I mean, you know, it's great that we have those footy accomplishments, but when you're an actual hero, that's a whole different thing.
Mm. Geez, that would have been emotional for you and your mum and your family. And how proud are you?
Yeah, really proud, Jars. Again, it's just all sort of the historians are doing a great job and you start to find the history. So just give you a little history about him. And it does. It makes you immensely proud and kind of puts lots of things in perspective, mate. So he's in Hamel. There's a war going on, obviously, in Hamel, so which is in France, of course, at the time. It was about the 7th and 8th of July. He's a Lance Corporal. Now, around him, all the other NCOs are either shot and killed or shot and wounded. So he has to grab the troops and then take them to finish the objective, which he does. So he reorganises the platoon, gets the objective accomplished, then he goes back and helps all the wounded. And then, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later, he's awarded a military medal for bravery. And it's just it's an unbelievable story. You know, we laugh about it. Leadership. Geez, that leadership, you know, that's a tough gig, isn't it? You know, get over there, son, come back, play the team rules. And you go, geez, under pressure. That, like, imagine dark of night, bullets flying everywhere, people around you falling to the ground, shot and dying. And you're grabbing guys and bringing them together to keep them composed and then keep moving forward to get your objective. I just think
you'd never understand. Yeah.
I agree with you. And that's the part that's unbelievably humbling. I mean, I remember him as a kid. Massive big hands. He had these massive big hands and loved his fishing. He'd go down to Largs. Of course, you weren't allowed to net then. It wasn't supposed to happen. So the net he was putting out was to protect the people from the sharks. Of course, not to touch the fish. And then he'd bring the fish back in. He'd feed his family because the Depression's on then. Then he'd go down the street with all the fish and give them to everyone in the street so they could all eat. He was just that, just a really humble kind of bloke. So, they had a thing last weekend at the RSL where they've named a walkway after him, the William Roy Drummond Walkway. And it was great to watch my mum. She's a really proud lady, doesn't say too much. And just to see her with the family there enjoying that, it's a different set of emotions. It really is.
Beautifully said, Smythe. Well done, mate. And sounds like a great night last night, had by all. Listen, we can't get you on without asking you about your old Morbid.
What the hell's happening?
It's pretty it's a bit sad, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I agree with you, Bluey. And obviously the job you've done with the Redbacks, why the coach has been out, your name's been mentioned heavily to take over the role with the Sixers as a coach. because they're looking for instant success. Yeah, look, it is really sad. I mean, it's one of those ones where you sit back and you just go, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, we don't have all the facts. And I guess the fact that the captain's come out and said the things he said, you know, and people are divided on how they feel about that. But it's actually a courageous act to come out and do that because, you know, he's wearing repercussions. People say, no, he shouldn't have said anything. And it's great you said something. You go, I think we're at that era now where we're encouraging people in those situations to say something.
You know, if it's that bad, then you've got to tell someone. Mm. So if you don't tell anyone, you can't fix it. But it's not how you want your sport portrayed on the front page and on the back page. It's not what you want. And it's world news. The NBA boys that are over there playing at the moment, they're talking about it. So it's not just sitting in a small pond anymore. It's gone into the big stages for sure.
Mate, congratulations on a great night last night, and congratulations to Port Adelaide. And well done, mate. You're proud as punch, and we'll catch up again for a chat.
Always good to talk to you, boys. And just tell Bernie, just turn up whenever you want, mate. That's how we run here. Seriously. You know, he's a new kid on the block. Yeah. I thought when you were new at this, you had to get some credit.
Yes.
You
know,
just turn up when you want.
Good
call. Has he got a barbecue or what's he? What's
he's
what's
playing
he
cricket
he's
in
playing
Stansbury.
In Stansbury.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a hell of a good reason, isn't it?
Well, it's a final, so we'll give him this one.
Oh, see you, buddy.
Yeah, good on you, boys.
Good on you, Smithy.
Bye, boys.
Okay, Victoria belted the All-Stars by 46 points, 24-10 to 15 goals, 18 in front of 51,000 fans. Yep. I think just from the fans alone, they made 500,000 for the bushfire appeal.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
All right, you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
We still haven't got the official word total raised, but I reckon we'll probably find out by Monday, wouldn't we? Which is fantastic. And congratulations to everyone that's involved, right? The fans have mocked the decision to award Dusty Martin the best on ground medal, but I'm led to believe the fans voted
right
for the best player.
Okay, well, work that out.
Paddy Dangerfield, just being a knob before the game, mocked the Adelaide Crows stance in the 2017 grand final.
Did he just?
Honestly.
Did he just?
You don't go and do that.
Well, he probably thought he was being funny.
Well, he's not funny, and he'll never win a premiership. No, he won't. He'll never win a premiership. No.
Okay.
No, no.
All right.
You know,
so the Cats.
Maybe focus on hitting a target with your kicks, mate, Dangerfield, honestly. Melbourne belted North Melbourne in its trial last night. Under-23 showdown Port v Crows at Thebe Oval today at midday.
Yep.
Get down there and support your two clubs there. So that'll be a good hit out for the young lads.
Yep.
The superstar is back. Erin Phillips will play her first game since her knee recon for the Adelaide Crows tomorrow v Carlton. So all the best at Richmond Oval. Mm. So there'll be a good crowd down there. The Chinese swimmer, Sung Young Ding-a-ling, ding-ding-ding, he's been banned for 8 years.
See you later, toodaloo.
See you later. About time.
8 years he got,
you
Jazz.
You cheat.
8 years, and he's 28 years of age, we won't
see
him again.
Yeah, what a disgrace to the sport. Tasmania will get their first NBL team since 1996. How exciting for Tasmania.
Yeah, they'd love that, absolutely.
They're going to be based in Hobart's northern suburbs. I think they're going to build a $10 million complex and
Hobart's northern suburbs.
Yes, Hobart's northern suburbs will be built. And now we've just got to wait on the AFL team to come out of Tassie, which should, because they're a pure football state, my friend. Mm. Aussies, our boys take on South Africa tonight. Game one of three. 50
Nine,
overs?
9:30 tonight.
Okay. Will you be watching?
I'll be watching that. Yep. Okay. Not all of it.
All right. And just quickly, Emma's made her debut with us. Right, Emma G, and you're doing a terrific job, G.
Thanks, brilliant. Jazz. Right.
So brilliant.
Maddie, our boss, sent you a text message, yeah?
Yeah.
And me. Did you get one?
No, I didn't, because I'm in a blue with the boss, Maddie O'Reilly. Never see him.
Where's this going, Jazz? You're making me nervous.
But the big daddy, Mr. Jimmy, our big boss,
tell
Emma G she's doing a terrific job.
Oh,
from the big boss.
Good on you, James.
Mate, you're
thanks
in.
Thanks for that.
There. So, Mr. Jimmy Pedersen, right, who thinks he's a good cricket coach, but he's not. Tick. And Maddie, our boss, who we hardly ever see. Tick.
Well, they're both right.
Done thanks, guys. Job. Hopefully I'll be invited back. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Next week?
Hopefully. I don't know. Right. We'll see how I go today. Yeah. Local football's back. Visit footballsa.com.au for full NPL fixtures and results. And still to come on Dead Set Legends, Bernie's Beef and Jay-Z, Triple M's own AFL newsbreaker, Jay Clark, on the Legends next. Dead Set Legends on Adelaide's Triple M.
Yeah, great supporters of ours, haven't they? Really.
Absolutely.
Semi Toyota. Yep. Thank you very much. Now, early in the week on a Tuesday in the rush hour, 5:30 to 7 with Bernie Vince. At 5:45 he does a Burns Beef. And I think it's important for our sad day family to listen to it. So he got a bit upset because he received a note from a neighbour on his windscreen about where his car was parked that interfered with this neighbour's bin. And it just set him off big time. That's our boy.
Oh, Burn.
He gets
Burn.
Fired up.
Well, the neighbour's got a bin to get picked up.
Yeah. And
Burn's parking in front of the bins.
Yeah. And there was a note on the windscreen, but no name. Like, it would have been nice. Look, can you just, from, my
he'll
name.
He'll find out who it is.
Yeah, he'll track
he'll
it
find,
down.
He'll find
yeah, he'll track it down. But there he goes. Very stuff. Funny. So he'll be back. He'll have another one Tuesday at 5:45 on the rush hour.
Bernie, Bluey and Jars are your dead set legends on Adelaide's Triple M. Adelaide's Triple M with your dead set legends, Bernie Vince, Greg Blewett and Andrew Jarman for CMI Toyota, taking your calls all morning on 133353.
Yeah, terrible news regarding the late, great Polly Farmer. Obviously, he had his brain, looked at.
Yes.
Regarding his wonderful football career, and they found it was being discovered that he got the CTE. I'm not going to explain what damages your brain and was detected as a player. And they're saying it's because repeated concussions as an AFL or VFL footballer back in the day. And what ramifications holds for the future of our game and our code moving forward? Because we, as you said before, Blue, a lot of our current and past players, Johnny Platton, Greg Williams, and there's more and
Nicky
more.
Nicky Winmar.
They're all starting to come out. Mm. And it could be, some Class A lawsuits coming to the AFL. Who knows?
Yep.
But it's a worrying sign moving forward in our great game. So let's get some calls. We've got 133353. If you've got any thoughts, let's go to Johnny of Hope Valley. G'day, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's your take on it?
Well, mate, the King Hits bit, I think, was a little bit flippant because realistically, any time your brain hits your skull, you can be concussed. So it doesn't even need a big bump. I work in a school. We deal with the school kids. And it is a really worrying thing for our kids who are not playing necessarily football. They could be playing netball, soccer, something that you would say is not a contact sport, and they still suffer concussions. Mm. So that's what I mean. It's going to become a bigger and bigger issue, not only in elite sport, but in school sports and your weekend type sports as well. There's big lawsuits overseas. There's kids even getting millions of dollars because of damage from concussions and that, and not being the teachers and the caregivers not being aware of what's happened to the kid and going, toughen up, princess, and go back on the field.
Mm. John, do you think
it is a worry even at school? At school,
yeah. Do you think it could spell the end of contact sports in the future?
I hope not. Mm. I love my footy, like most guys do, but it's just got to be a bit more sensible when someone does get concussed.
Yeah.
And you think of what you probably played under Jars and what they do now, concussion tests and all that. It is changing, and it's changing, and the motto that we use in the schools and in a lot of places is, if in doubt, sit them out.
Mm, well said. John, I've got a prize. Thank you, John.
Yeah, a couple of tickets to the movies for you, John. Vin Diesel stars in the action-packed thrill ride Bloodshot in cinemas March 12th.
Thank you, John. We've got to keep moving. Let's go to Brad of Nova Gardens. G'day, Brad. What's your take on it?
Yeah, g'day, guys. I think Bluey said it earlier on, is there's a wider issue here. And that is that the kids from, under sevens and eights and nines, they're not actually taught how to tackle. And then that progresses with them as they move up through the ranks. And it's all about they just getting their bodies in the wrong position, head in the wrong place. And that's causing the issues. They taught everything else. Footy's a contact sport, but just not how to tackle.
Yeah. Well, I know. And yeah, they've basically got to be taught, don't they? The head, do not go anywhere near the head. So I'm sure
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's all about that body position, right? So getting the head you know, on the right side of the body and everything else like that. But that isn't taught. So that's for me is the biggest problem.
Mm. Prize, please, Jim.
We don't have any more prizes, Jazz.
I thought I had some more tickets to give away.
Maybe we'll have some more movie
tickets.
We'll
find some for you, Brad. Good stuff.
Just no quickly, worries. Thanks
Brad. Well said. Before we get to Dave, cricketers
yes.
wear helmets but still get concussed.
Yeah, that's right.
Will Prokoski, the young cricketer, he's in serious trouble, isn't he?
He's still not back. So there's a guy called Sam Harper as well, got concussed. He's had issues with concussion for a number of years now, playing the Big Bash this season. Fell over a fielder, hit his helmet on the pitch. Concussion, we haven't seen him again this season.
See, cricketers as well.
Yeah, just that knock to the head. Yeah. Just got to be very, very careful.
Dave from Craigmore. G'day, Dave.
How you going, Jazz?
What are your thoughts, mate?
Well, I agree with it. Actually, what I rang up about, I watched a show on Netflix called Getting Inside the Head of Aaron Hernandez.
Yes.
And he plays footy with, or did play footy with Tom Brady, and he ended up getting done for murder because he was off the planet.
Yep.
He shot two people, and then when he got convicted, he killed himself in jail.
Yeah. Oh. Yep.
They got permission to take his brain out, and exactly the same as the big fella from Perth.
Polly Farmer.
Yeah, Polly Farmer.
Yeah, saying that he had lots of mood swings and...
terrible mood swings. And they highlighted quite a few guys that had retired early because of concussion and suicided.
Mm. God. Mm. Jeez.
It's a real issue and look out.
I'm with you. There's some real big concerns coming our way.
Well done,
thanks,
Dave.
Have a good day, mate.
All right. Cheers, boys.
If you or someone you know is struggling, call Lifeline on 13 11 14. Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Bernie, Bluey and Jars for CMI Toyota. Your Dead Set Legends on Triple M, Bernie, Vince, Greg Bluer, Andrew Jarman for CMI Toyota with SA's largest range of new and used Toyota stock.
Good stuff, Em, and well done to you too.
Yeah, well
first
played.
Show. Very
thanks,
good.
Guys.
Outstanding.
My
so we'll hopefully see you back next week.
We're
done.
So.
We are done, mate. I'm sprinting on. You're playing a bit of cricket today.
Yeah. It's not at Gawler.
Where is it?
Oh, it's Blakeview somewhere.
Where's Blakeview?
Peninsula the Pirates.
Northeast.
Do you know where you're going? That's a fair way from Henley Beach.
No, I don't.
But well, whack it in your maps and away you go. Continue on your form.
Thank you.
And I'm playing a bit of golf.
Good luck.
Beautiful day for it. Absolutely stunning. Right. So I don't want to put too much pressure on ourselves, Jazz.
Okay. Well, thanks for the day.
Enjoyed the show.
Right, see ya.
Had some good guests and we're all looking forward to next week, aren't we?
See you later.
Right here on Dead Set Legends.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Saturday mornings from 9 for CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of 1 hour express while you wait servicing.